And now we'll turn to Bill and Rand.
Thank you, Denise. Rand Wilson, welcome to KBOO.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here.
Rand Wilson, let me introduce you. He's a union organizer, a labor journalist. He coordinated labor for Bernie. For those who just woke up from a long sleep, Bernie Sanders startled the country and world. He ran as a Democratic socialist and amazed everybody by nearly winning the Democratic Party nomination for U.S. president. For the last 6 months, Bernie has continued his challenge. Labor for Bernie became Labor for Our Revolution. That's a national organization with local units established to carry that radical message and continue the challenge to business as usual. So, Rand Wilson, tell us about Labor for Bernie and now Labor for Our Revolution and the problems they face in putting the movement back into the labor movement.
Well, first of all, I want to give a shout out to everybody in your Portland listening area that supported Bernie Sanders, and to all of the union members and immigrants and labor activists and supporters who are on strike or marching and rallying today as part of International Workers' Day and as part of a day without immigrants. Today is, I think, going to be historic in the scope and scale of the mobilization by workers, union and not yet union, across the country in thousands of local actions and rallies and strikes. So I'm very optimistic about what's happening today and energized by the success of the Sanders campaign in the labor movement, not necessarily with the union leadership that got somehow tied into the status quo and to the Democratic Party's anointed candidate, but by the six unions that broke away from the Democratic mainstream to support Bernie at the national level, hundreds of locals across the country that endorsed the Sanders campaign, and 50,000 members plus that supported labor for Bernie across the country. And that energy is what we're transforming or capturing or translating into a new Labor for Our Revolution as a segue with the Sanders campaign energy into a force uniting workers and uniting the labor movement to fix a rigged economy, as Bernie would say, and a broken political system.
Let's talk about the challenge to the labor movement. You know, I have some sympathy for even the most conservative business unionists, the leadership of those unions. They're in a terrible bind because they've depended for so long on the Democratic Party for defending themselves from the rabid Republicans who want to destroy the unions, and just defending some of the basic protections of the Wagner Act for unions. Of course, it's been a losing battle. They lose more every year. But you could see why especially the public unions are forced to support the Democrats, because the Republicans would do everything they can to smash them. And in fact, the challenge now is really severe, because these cases that are coming before the Supreme Court would greatly challenge the existence of unions in the United States. Tell us about that and the way in which, if labor is to survive as a real force in American life, it's going to have to change its ways of operating.
I know you're going to have Mark Brenner on later in the show talking about a national right to work bill, and we already have 27, maybe 28 states have already enacted right to work at the state level.
Right, right, so to work for less, yeah, for much less.
The movement for right to work for less is spreading across the country at the state level, and undoubtedly there'll be some support for a national right to work bill this year coming from the far right. And just as importantly, there's a case working its way up to the Supreme Court that's going to be similar to what we faced a year and a half or 2 years ago with the Friedrichs decision that was before the Supreme Court that would make compulsory union dues or a fair share dues payments by all members for the services of collective bargaining and grievance handling that the union performs voluntary. That Friedrichs decision was only defeated because of the death of a Supreme Court justice that left the court deadlocked 4-4. And now with the new Trump Supreme Court appointee, in all likelihood, they'll have the 5 votes that they need to win a decision like Friedrich's that would make membership voluntary and dues payments voluntary.
Yeah, it would reduce the resources of the unions by a great deal, as it has
in the public sector.
In the public sector,
that's
right.
That's going to be in the public sector, which is roughly, I think, about half of the union membership at this point is in public sector organizations,
right?
Including the organization I work for, SEIU Local 888.
So the unions really have to meet that challenge through a very different way of deploying power and asserting power, and that is it's got to come from below.
And there's going to need to be a very different relationship between the union leadership and its members, and a much more actively engaged relationship. In order to win the support of the membership, you're going to have a much more responsive and much more energetic organization to inspire a voluntary participation. And so that's the silver lining in something like this, is just that, we have an opportunity to have our unions be much more part of a transformational politics rather than the transactional politics that have really failed us with both Democrats and Republicans. And so I'm excited about, I'm not looking forward to the loss in revenue and the substantial diminution of our resources as a result of right-to-work bills and or a Friedrichs-like decision.
Right. We still have to fight them, but reality is that we also have to prepare for, if those things are lost, we have to prepare for what's coming.
Yeah, and what was so exciting about the Sanders campaign, I think for people that participated in it or watched it from arm's length, was the way that the campaign connected social movements and the labor movement to a new kind of electoral politics. And that's very much what we hope Labor for Our Revolution will harness and be a part of in this emerging Our Revolution groups that are emerging around the country. There's more than 900 groups and dozens of state organizations at this point that have consolidated the Sanders support into Our Revolution chapters and intent on continuing the political revolution. It's very, very exciting energy, mostly coming from young people, millennials, that were energized and excited about Bernie Sanders and want to continue that work.
This is your Old Mole Variety Hour on KBOO, Portland, Oregon. I'm Bill Resnick for the Old Mole, talking to Rand Wilson, union organizer, labor journalist, and coordinator for Labor for Bernie, which became a real force in nearly defeating the corporate Democrats headed by the Clintons, the neoliberals, in winning the Democratic Party nomination. History could have been very different, actually. Rand, let's talk about the continuation of this sort of struggle from below. Bernie's talked about it a lot. This can't be a one-person crusade, and he's not the king. It has to really come from below. There's no way of matching corporate neoliberal money from around the world, indeed, and not just the billionaires here. They certainly will have the money. The question is whether there is a real response from below. Right now, there's this battle for the soul of the Democratic Party or for domestic policy. Tell us about that.
Well, two thoughts. The contest that occurred between former Secretary of Labor Perez and Congressman Keith Ellison from Minnesota for the leadership of the party really was emblematic of the corporate center and the left grassroots of the Democratic Party. We came very, very close to succeeding with Ellison in a very hard-fought campaign that wasn't the slightest bit Democratic. This is for votes with Democratic Party insiders, and yet he came within just a few votes of winning. That was a kind of a proxy war that was symbolic of the array of forces inside the party. What you're seeing now is literally hundreds of young people who are jumping into the political arena, carrying the message of Sanders in contests for city council and for mayor and for state rep and state senator and for Congress all across the country. People are inspired by the Sanders campaign and are running for office and are enlisting the support of Our Revolution for their platform that is addressing the issues of inequality and campaign finance. Those are at the center of all of these campaigns.
Yeah, and it seems to me Bernie has done really well on the environmental, the enormous threat of climate change and the absolute necessity of changing the way we, in fact, produce and consume in this country. And it seems to me those movements are also connected. It's not just an electoral campaign. It has an electoral arm, and it certainly is headed for 2018. It's on everybody's mind now. All of politics, both parties in Washington are looking to 2018, and they're maneuvering right now, which is why the Republicans can't pass anything, because they're desperately afraid of the response by the people. In any event, it's not just an electoral campaign. It has to be a movement from below with feminist concerns, with especially environmental concerns, supporting immigrants and workers around the world, not just here. One of the reasons that people come from Latin America here is the way, in fact, those countries are being run also as kleptocracies, putting huge numbers of people at risk of starvation. It seems to me that all of those movements have to be part of it and have to organize at the local level if we are going to prevail.
Absolutely. And what's been missing, I think, for a while is that the movements haven't been able to unite and find an electoral expression. And the optimism that I feel from the Sanders campaign and from what's emerging now in our revolution is that we're finding our voice and connecting these grassroots movements that you just articulated and many more to candidates and really trying to shake things up. And the Democratic Party is really at a crossroads. Is it going to be a party of Main Street or Wall Street? Is this going to be a party for workers or for owners? I think the jury's out. The Democratic Party has to make some tough decisions about which way it wants to go. And it can't just be the happy talk that they've given us in the past. We've lost all credibility.
Yeah. One final question. What faces and what's faced left candidates who have won elections on radical programs like Mitterrand in France and a number of politicians in England is they face the forces of capital who go on capital strike and flight and who destroy the economy. We really have to come to terms with that structural power of the people who own the means of production, as we used to call it.
You know, the forces in the labor movement have the most experience of any movement in dealing with capital, confronting head-on the kind of power that the boss has in the workplace and in your community with your state and your national electoral and political apparatus. And so that's why labor has to be at the center and is so essential for any movement to succeed. Workers and the working class have to be a part of that and have to ground that movement in the reality of dealing with the capitalist system.
We have
a lot of experience with that.
There's so much more to say, and it's all possible. Thank you very much, Rand Wilson, for talking to us today.
My pleasure, and I look forward to hearing your other people on the show today. Happy May Day.
You too.